So welcome to this talk, best practices for using SharePoint and media to connect knowledge in your and communities within your organization. I'm Ludovic Farage. I'm a director of learning experiences at Microsoft. With me, I have Rhonda Nicholson right here, who's going to go over the solution architecture. We also have with us our Microsoft IT partner, Sean Squires, right over here. And he's going to join us at the end of the talk for the Q&A and to go into any deep technical detail. The agenda for this hour is really a mix of our experience in building a media platform on SharePoint and how, from a business standpoint, we've learned how to make it successful. It's also addressing the solution architecture behind it using SharePoint over the years. When we were preparing for this presentation, we really thought about balancing the business insights and the technical insights. You'll find that the first 15 minutes are going to be mostly on the business insights, how we've actually deployed that video portal inside Microsoft. And then the rest is going to be mostly the solution architecture and how we use SharePoint. We have a few slides, additional slides on the business aspects. If you're interested, we can have that conversation after the talk. But just to say, the expectation is going to be heavier on the solution architecture on SharePoint over the years. So we're going to do a history. We're going to talk about what it is today. We call it Academy. By the way, that's the name of the solution that we have. Rhonda is going to really go into the details of how we are planning and designing that video portal for SharePoint Online. So who we are? We are, I guess just like you, we are a customer of the technology within Microsoft. We partner with our IT group. We partner with the product team to deliver solution to the Microsoft employees. Especially, Rhonda and I are looking after the salespeople, the marketing people, the consultant individuals in the field, and we are trying to give them the best knowledge tools so that they can learn about the Microsoft products, engage in a conversation with you, et cetera, et cetera. We've been doing that for quite a while now, and we are at a stage at this time where we have a solution running on SharePoint 2010. We have a Windows 8 app, and you'll see that as well. We had a Windows Phone app, and we are really addressing every Microsoft employee. That means 100,000 employees that are out there. Actually, also 100 additional vendors that are working for Microsoft. In 112 countries, and 40% of our employee base is pretty much global. So you'll find a lot sitting in Seattle, but most of it really is across the world. I'm going to take you down memory lane and share with you how Academy, our environment, has evolved over the years. It's an interesting view to really show how, as a business, we've matured, and also how we've worked with the product team as the product team evolved in the video space to take the best of the solution and provide it additional value year over year over year. I'm going to share with you the first video. I mean, we're talking about video here. This is the first video that we've produced for this project. It's a video that's really the first prototype. It's 2 minutes. And if you're like me, you've been around the technology long enough, you're going to recognize how cheesy it can be and how proud we were at the time as well. I mean, look at the visuals, the stars, but I'll just play it for 2 minutes.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but it's less. Be messing where you shouldn't be messing, and now someone else is getting all your dust. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
That was SharePoint 2003 at the time. A lot was real, some was smoke and mirror. That one was the integration that Maya at the time was kind of not there.
When you ought to be kissing, You keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep sinning when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't seen right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
The one word meaning of sales is work. The two word meaning of sales is work hard.
Hi, I'm Michael Woodard. I'm the ATS lead worldwide.
I'm Matt Hester, and I'm an IT pro evangelist. Recently, I've become very passionate around search.
I'm just going to kind of give you a quick snapshot. Targeting, interoperability, and integration.
I'm able to search across, kind of go through the IO discovery to give you an idea or to give them an idea of where to head in the next fiscal year.
And the BlackBerry at the end. That was 6 years ago. That's really what sold the project 6 years ago, to my corporate VP, when he really wanted us to find new ways to enable the field to share knowledge. We had traditional courses, we had webcasts, we had virtual training, but really we found that videos and the ability at the time, really just starting, and YouTube being a phenomenon for only 6 months, the ability to capture knowledge through a video device that we all have now, and sharing that with the broad audience was a killer feature. And so, thinking of business, thinking of, about selling the ID, you see here we, how we sold the concept of the platform, how we sold the concept of the person in the field who will consume it, the person in the field who will also produce the content, and making kind of a punchy and good looking at the time. We were really proud of the first features, the ratings, of course, the integration with Windows Media Player. We had RSS in Outlook, great, great way for people to actually download and consume offline channels and news and Zooms. We quickly moved to the 2007 version of SharePoint, where we were starting to be able to leverage some of the out-of-the-box features of SharePoint to manage in a better way the upload, the metadata. We were able also to find ISVs that would help with the tech cloud, for example. We also started to extend that by bringing server-side re-encoding, which was lacking in the previous version. And you see the rhythm of consumption, the number of people who started to use the videos was pretty good. In 2010, we had two really interesting experiences. The first one is the actual migration from 2007, something that we're going to be able to look at when we do the 2013 transition. And it's also for us really when video became mainstream, and it was not only the field or something just about crowdsourcing the knowledge, it was really about digital marketing. And we started to see our big execs, Steve Ballmer, every corporate VP in the company starting to publish content. With that, we saw our number of users go up. The second thing, I mentioned two things, is we discovered a bug in our RSS feed, which meant that every time someone actually used RSS, we kind of exploded the number of downloads. So we fixed it, which is why you see a drop. And then we added event calendaring, we added some additional reporting and BI capability. 2013 is what we're going to spend the most time talking about. I want to connect what we're doing with, on 2013 with two sessions that you may already have attended. The first one was from Karem, who's, I think, in the audience. He demonstrated yesterday morning how to configure search. And if you've attended it, you'll find that we're actually using some of those concepts in the 2013 version. The second one is from Lincoln. He delivered a knowledge center demo yesterday. I think he created twice in 1 hour a knowledge center using managed metadata and managed navigation. And so you'll see also those concepts implemented in the 2013 version of the solution. Oops, wrong mouse. Additional insights into how we see our audience consuming the information. We have mobile apps, but really we realize that most individuals in the field are still consuming the video in a very traditional way, I will say, in their browser, playing the embedded video. Some download it for offline purpose, some use RSS, some use the phone, but really the most, you can see it's almost 60%, I think, if not more, of the consumption of the media is still in the browser. You see also how we've evolved year over year in reaching our core audience. Started with sales, marketing, and services professionals. And for the last 2 years, really, we've expanding that to the other half of Microsoft, which are the engineers, the people who actually build the products. So we feel pretty good about that. To net out how we started from scratch in 2006 and made it the one place for the field and all every Microsoft employee to go for video. And by the way, I don't think I mentioned it yet. We see an additional 1,000 videos added every month. Every month, 1,000 more videos published to the site. So how did we get there? You could see, actually, you could go back to 2006 and see that strategy, the 4P strategy. It's about publish, producing, partnering, and program. So what does that mean? Publish means you want to make publishing, the act of publishing, the experience, as smooth as possible. We don't have an approval workflow on the platform today. Anyone at Microsoft can take their video, publish it using the upload button, and it's going to make the front page until the next one comes up, of course, without an approval workflow. That was critical for us to do that because we wanted that sense of immediacy, right? When you publish to Twitter, when you publish on Facebook, on Yammer, you have that instant reward of seeing your contribution published. And we really wanted to replicate that. What we do is we have an alert system where if someone finds something offensive, we can actually then evaluate and take action. I've only had one of those alerts in the last 6 years. And it actually happened 2 months ago. I won't give you the details, but it pretty much, the people at Microsoft, and I'm guessing in most knowledge management or knowledge worker environment, are quite well educated on the meaning of sharing, having their name associated with it. And so usually they don't make big mistakes like this. Produce is about, and that's also my first point, focus first on content consumption. If you want the platform to be successful, actually don't bet yet on social. Don't think that social or crowdsourcing is going to give you the relevancy that you need. People first will come to consume great content. You need to serve great content. Of course, you want to build the crowdsourcing, the social aspect, so that everybody can produce great content. But produce and partner, it's about you producing that content, finding the people, finding the organizations, the marketing folks, who you're going to be able to switch to use videos and your platform to produce the right content that your field is going to use. So make it a set strategy to produce content. And then also what we found, even in 2006, was there were already people producing video and content out there. We had what we call drive time. It was cassettes 10 years ago that sales folks will actually put in their car. We had GetAbstract, and GetAbstract, the service is about providing, in an audio format, book summaries in 5 minutes. So you don't have to read the book, you just listen to the summary in 5 minutes. And so what we did is we partnered with them to bring that content over to the platform. Again, bringing the relevant content day one without waiting for everybody else to produce it. Think about it as a TV channel, right? You have a channel, you have an audience, make content deals. And then, of course, program. Program is about, well, building that social movement inside Microsoft. And it doesn't happen just because you have a solution out there. It happens because you have passionate people. Paolo Tosolini here, who maybe some of you actually know, is quite known in the social media space now, built the podcast in the box. It was, at the time, a loaner program where we will offer recording devices for free for anyone who wanted them. We also offered post-producing software, Camtasia or other sorts. And all you had to do was to commit to produce 3 videos, audios a month. Doing big marketing events, you see here Microsoft podcasters being present at internal events, kind of really engaging your audience every time you can find them to really build that social culture. And so go for corporate communication events and launch it, make it big, make it fun, make it cool. That's what we did 6 years ago. We are a little bit, we're not as cool as we used to be now. We're kind of, we are mainstream. Steve Ballmer is using it, everybody is using it, but we still try to preserve that core and really still appealing to our core audience, which is the field. I think that's pretty much it for the business part. As I said, we have additional slides. If you want to talk more about how we actually implemented the details, the program, stay here and we can have that conversation. I'm going to hand it over to Rhonda now, who's going to talk to you about the platform itself and take you all the way to how we're going to do it in SharePoint 2013 and the cloud.
Thank you, Ludo. That was great.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I just want to do a quick check and see who we have in the audience and what you might be trying to get out of today's presentation. So if just by show of hands, if you would raise your hand if you already have a social media platform at your company. You already have one. That's pretty good. Keep those up. And then so how many people are here because they've been told, go figure out how to build a social media platform for us. You have it in the plan. So we have already, keep your hands up so we can see how many. You've got already have it and you're going to be building it. That's great. And then everyone else is here because you just want to learn more about it. Right? Got that? Awesome. All right. Why don't we take a look at the SharePoint 2010 portal today and see what we have. So Ludo did a great job taking us through the history. What's that? Oh, yeah. I've abandoned hope of doing a live demo. I've got screenshots here, so apologies for that. I didn't want to risk and put you through not having that work. So this is our homepage today. What you'll notice is that we have some real estate along the top and along the right that is for advertising. This is an important part of our business. It's a part of our model for how Academy works. We actually sell to various business groups and to executives and to different teams who want to have a channel to promote related content on Academy. We go and we build them a custom channel where all their information is. An example here you see is the Windows 8 channel in the breakfast series. And we also have some executive channels. The revenue that we get from that helps to fund the support team. We have a whole team of folks who are there on hand. Every time we do a live event, we deliver about 8,000 live events every month. Well, no, 8,000 attendees at our live events each month. And those are usually delivered through link or live meeting. So that's something important that we've learned here about how to make this work. Let's take a look at, the first thing that you're going to see here is that uploading podcasts and getting help are right up front and center. I'm going to click on upload podcasts and show you how simple it is here. Struggling with a mouse a little bit. So anyone can upload a podcast, and if you don't make it immediately visible to them on your homepage somewhere, people aren't going to know that they can do it. What they do is they enter some very simple metadata, and I'm going to just click down here, title and description, published date. They enter the classification, whether this is low business impact or high business impact, and they determine if it needs to be tagged to a particular channel. Once they enter that channel, the video will then show up in that particular channel. I'm struggling with driving that there. So let me click down. There's other There's taxonomies, corporate taxonomies that we bring in that are also available for tagging to channels. You'll see products, competition, region, organization, level, audience. Those are not required today. It's a little unfortunate for us because we have 24,000 videos in our repository today, and many of them are not tagged this way. So when we go forward and we implement on 2013, we really want to be able to use the managed taxonomy to take those taxonomies and the taggings and to have managed navigation. We're going to have to go through a huge video cleanup to do that, and we're going to go through that process so that we can leverage that. So going forward, we're looking at having products be a required tagging, and then folks will be completing that, as well as the target audience. Let's close this up. You'll notice that the content here is categorized by what's new, most popular, and upcoming events. The upcoming events are things that can be scheduled on your calendar. You simply click on that, and you can add it and get an S plus right to your Outlook calendar. We also present information right there that makes it easy for folks to decide, do I want to look at this? Do I want to know more about this particular video, including the ratings, the date it was published, how fresh it was, who the author was, and the number of downloads. Let's take a look at search. I want to look at one of my favorite podcasters. His name is Michael. So up top you'll see in search, I've typed Michael, and I'm going to go ahead and click search. And what I get back are some search results. It looks like I have about 403 search results. And you'll see that we're using standard SharePoint filters off to the left, according to the information, whether who the owner was, the published date, the rating, the product tagging. I want to filter by something specific here, so let me click on Microsoft SharePoint, and there I get, I'm filtered down to 34 results. I think that I'd like to take a look at the SharePoint video. So if I hover over that, I get a little bit more information, including the description, and yeah, that looks like something I'd like to see. So let me take a look at that. This is our video doc set details page. What you'll notice here, again, is more information at the top in terms of the ratings. I can actually click and add my rating here. It's also integrated with links, so if I were to hover over Mike, I can see that he's busy right now, and I probably shouldn't bother him, but I could send him an email, or maybe I want to chat with him later. So that integration is very helpful to build your community and help people to find subject matter experts in your company. Let's talk a little bit about the video player itself. The video player was developed in 2006, when Ludo's team first rolled out Academy. SharePoint didn't have a video player at the time, so we built our own. It's made out of Silverlight, and over the years we've done many enhancements to it, including closed captionings. We've integrated it with EE Trends for reporting. In some cases, when we have the video can be embedded in other SharePoint sites, and that's very, very popular. So actually, you can just click a button here to grab the embed code and go place it somewhere else. We get quite a bit of traffic from other portals that way. And in those cases, we also have a little bit of branding on the video to let people know, hey, this came from Academy, and they can click on that brand, and it'll bring them to this video docs at details page where they see the rest of the information, not just the video by itself, but they can get the additional content. Perhaps there was a PowerPoint deck that they wanted to download. They can see some related content by author and by topic. So you'll also notice right below the video, we have just some other ways that folks can connect with each other. Perhaps you enjoyed the video, maybe you want to mail a link to a friend, or maybe you'd like to yammer about it or grab a copy of Deep Link. Waiting for my slide to advance. There it goes. So let's take a look at our browse functionality today. The browse button is located right there at the top, so I'm going to click on that. And we can browse by channels and networks. Now, networks are simply collections of channels. And the channels, as we talked about already, is a great place for product launches, campaigns, execs, that sort of thing. It's groups of related video. So what I'd like to do is pick these services. The executive network. So I'm going to take that one. And here's an example of a network. So we'll see that it has all our executives here by the senior leadership team. There's also a tab for the sales, marketing, and services executives, as well as our business group executives and our corp execs. I'd like to check in on Steve Ballmer, our CEO. So let me go back to the senior leadership team and find him. There he is, Steve's take. Let's take a look at that. This is an example of just one of our channel designs. We have many, many templates. We have over 250 different channels on Academy today. Many of them are just custom. This one features a video grid with an inline video player, so I can simply click and begin watching that video right there. This is a highly managed channel. It takes someone's constant effort to make sure that the six most relevant videos are there on the landing page. We have other designs that come up and have video grids, and they may have sorts and filters and all different kinds of things. This poses a significant challenge for us when we migrate to 2013. Why? We now have to go edit every single one of these channels by hand. You've been through this, right? Yeah? I mean, edit everyone by hand, and then you got to get it into a new template and get it into the new SharePoint. So I'm going to tell you a little bit later how we're going to fix that in 2013. Okay, so remember that one. Click on full-length presentations here. Take a peek at the rest of the videos that are on the channel. Here you see we have some sorting. We can sort by what's new, most popular, downloaded. The subscription is also pretty popular. We do have one channel in particular that is strictly just audio podcasts. It's called Drive Time, and it's targeted towards our sales force specifically, and they really do download those to their Zune or their iTunes, and they listen to that on the way to the work or when they're traveling. Oops, I didn't mean to. Sorry about that. Let me go back one. What you probably didn't notice because it was kind of was hidden was there's this little secret red tab over here. Like, who's going to see that, right? I could tell you it's a really cool feature, but really, it's just bad design. We're going to fix that when we go into 2013, too. If I click on that little red arrow, most people don't see it. They don't click it. They don't know. What happens is... we go backwards. There. It pops out that you have access to the publisher's dashboard. This is where if you actually own some content on Academy that you can go and you can manage that. So perhaps what you need to do, let me zoom in so you can see that. Perhaps you need to go in and update some metadata on your channel. Maybe you need to tag it to some other channels. Maybe you want to delete it. Whatever it is you want to do, you can get to that there. It also has the channel statistics. So I was looking at Steve Ballmer's channel, so these are some statistics that help him to understand how his channel's doing, to measure the reach and the downloads, and to kind of really figure out the ROI of the investment that he has in this channel. And, oops, it looks like he's dropped down to number two, which is unfortunate. I think I want to tell him that. Let me also click on the publisher's dashboard here, just so you can get a quick peek and see what we have there. Nothing real fancy, definitely probably due for a bit of a refresh in terms of design. But, I mean, it's functional, it works. You can bulk update your content here. You can take a look at your expiring content. Here's another thing to think about when you're building your portal. We had our portal in place for about 5 years with no content expiration policy, no retirement policy. So about 3 months ago, we said, hey, there's an awful lot of content in here that's old, and it just is, it's polluting our search results. We don't have a good experience anymore. So we went and cleaned up. We had 44,000 videos. We had to clean them all up. We got ourselves down to about 22,000. And as Luda mentioned, that number quickly ramps up again. But we now have a process in place that's automatic from SharePoint and manages that for us. So any questions on what you saw there? Give you just a second in case there's something you wanted to ask about.
I assume the publisher dashboard and the stats, that's all custom.
It is, and we're looking at pulling that into some SSRS reports going forward, so we'll have it better integrated. Yeah, we also have, in addition, that's one of the really important features of the platform is we have these really nice cube reports as well, and folks use that all the time to get more details, not just that, but yeah.
I think the publisher dashboard is using CBQ.
I think it is now.
Yeah. Into 10. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's the front is custom, but we're using the out-of-the-box API, CBQ, for SharePoint 2.10.
Okay. We also have, so that was our main portal. About 3 months back, we released our Academy app for Windows 8. This has been a really popular app. Folks love it. The thing about it is, it's really just great for the consuming the videos. You don't publish or upload or manage or any of that there yet. It's really just for consumption. It works great on a slate. So what I have here is a recorded demo that I would show you.
The Academy app for Windows 8 is very popular with our mobile workforce. With this demo, you'll see the experience with a keyboard and mouse, but I've got to tell you, it's fast and fluid on a touchscreen slate. From the Windows Start screen, you simply select the app. Immediately, the top content is available by most recent, most downloaded, and upcoming events. By going to the right, I can see featured podcasts, channels, and networks. By browsing, I can find the type of content that I'm most interested in. The IT community at Microsoft is very active using Academy, so there's a lot of channels to choose from. If you're not in the mood for browsing, from any page in the app, you always have access to the search charm. Results are returned and sortable. Let's take a look at Xbox Smart Glass.
Hi, I'm Mark Budesh. I'm a software engineer at Xbox. Like most people, I have a lot of devices. I use them at different times, in different places, for different purposes. When it comes to entertainment, wouldn't it be great if they just talked to each other and did most of the work on their own? Well, that's where Xbox Smart Glass comes in. It's a free app that connects your devices to your Xbox Entertainment, and it's available for the devices that you already own.
From any screen in the app, I can always go home by swiping down or right-clicking. I also can view my downloaded podcasts or browse all networks and channels.
It took 3 weeks for the first version to be released for this app. And it's really built on top of the SharePoint APIs. At the end of the day, it's really querying the SharePoint APIs and surfacing that in the Windows 8 modern UI. So it's quite straightforward. OK, I think now we're going to tell you about SharePoint 2013 and how we're moving the platform to that new environment.
Yes, we are. All right, what we have here are, we sort of synthesize three technical best practices that you can take away if you're considering building on SharePoint 2013. We are focusing today on metadata-driven pages. This is going to help you just drive a consistent look and feel to your UI, something that's easily managed from a common template. We'll talk a little bit about managed navigation. So how you're going to take your taxonomy and you're going to use that to navigate. So I sort of hinted to that already where we don't do tagging required like by product or audience today, but we want to, and those are taxonomies that come in. So once we do that tagging, we'll be able to use those to generate our pages automatically. We'll talk about that. And then the third component is video or content recommendations, just to help to drive that personalized content and related content and drive consumption. So we're going to take a look at each of these in a little bit of detail. So for the metadata-driven pages, the problem here really is that SharePoint doesn't give us a way to add and remove web parts from a page layout globally. Once you've generated your page, the page layout's no longer affected when you make a change. So our solution to this in 2013 is going to be discontinue using so many web parts. Only use web parts when you absolutely need them to pull in the raw data that you need. What we want to do then is have each page, as the metadata, tell us what should be displayed on the page. So when we talk about the different channel layouts that we had, maybe somebody wants a top navigation or a right navigation, or maybe they want Yammer embed at the bottom, and then they want a little video embed, or maybe they want Steve Ballmer's layout, whatever it is they want. That stuff becomes metadata to the template. So we have a master template that we have that should be able to create any channel you want just by toggling on or off the features that you want. So going forward, the other thing that's going to help us with is when we want to add a feature, we can do it globally. We can add the feature once, and it's going to automatically be available to every template and every channel that we have. We also can turn features on and off individually to page level. So it's going to help us out a lot.
To have all those channels really leverage the new look and feel, the new Yammer web part, et cetera, et cetera. So that's really what's going to help us tremendously do that, to really generalize one look and feel be able to make changes broadly.
Right. And it's also, the other thing that we're going to do here is we're going to be able to have reporting from that channel template layout, knowing which features got clicked or touched and how many times by whom, because we'll be able to add that as a feature at the top level. The second one here is manage navigation. Let's say that you don't want to adopt the model that we have, where you go out and you sell a bunch of channels to folks in the field, and then you go build them and you put their content in and they manage it. Let's say you don't want to do that. You just want something quick and dirty. What can you do? Well, you can bring in your taxonomy structures. You can do the tagging to all the videos, so you can tag by your region or your language or your audience or your organization, whatever you're going to do. And then you can pin that taxonomy to your new site navigation, and automatically someone can put in a URL. They could put in, you know, your Microsoft site, whack whack, Windows 8, and it'll pull back all the Windows 8 videos that have been tagged into the template that you designated. So you have a quick and dirty channel. You don't have to build the page. Okay, it's built for you once you do that work. And then, let's see what else we have here. The dynamic page content. Of course, the cool thing about this is you could actually set up at each of the main branches of your taxonomy, you could set up different templates. So let's say somebody found a Windows 8 video that was tagged under a sales channel. If they browsed to it and they came to it from the sales channel, it might have a different look and feel, if you wanted it to, than if they browsed to it from the engineering channel. Okay, so that's a little bit about the dynamic page content. It allows for the dynamic configuration. The third one is the content recommendations. Now, I need to caveat this with, this is a new feature in 2013. However, it does leverage the content by search, which isn't available online. So this is going to be available only for on-premise installations if you were to choose to use this. With Academy, we have the luxury here of partnering with our product teams. And so we're going to still look at, see if there's a way that we can figure out how to make this work for us. And as soon as we get that figured out, then we can make that available to you. But right now, that's not available. So the content recommendations are configurable. So basically, if you've landed on a certain page, it can go in and understand information about that page and recommend other things that you might want to watch. It also allows for results padding. So not only do you have this robust engine that sits underneath that does these recommendations for you that you can configure and you can add your filters to, you can also say, if by chance you only get back two videos, I want you to run this query and I want you to put in our featured videos. Okay, you can results pad and add to it as well. Anybody have any questions on those three technical best practices? We could save the time for the end if you want, but let's see if we have one or two.
Can take that.
Can you hear us?
Today, the only required metadata are really only what we need to display. So it's going to be the published date. It's going to be the podcaster himself. We actually don't make required any extra metadata that will relate to product or industry or to the content. So from that standpoint, the acceptance is quite high because we actually don't force extra metadata that much. Really, I mean, who you are, when are you publishing, the title, description, everybody will do that. We don't force anything else beyond that. Everything else is not required. So the question is, what did you have to do from a network standpoint to enable those videos?
I'm actually going to talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I think that's the next slide. Next slide. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I want to do, though, is I want to give you a sneak preview of how we're envisioning Academy is going to look and work on 2013. So keep in mind, this is a project. We haven't hit baseline yet. We've collected our requirements. We're in the middle of doing some functional specifications right now. So it's not all the way baked, but I just still want to share with you what we're thinking about and where we're going. So what I do have are some mock-ups to show.
Sure. Oh, you want to show the mock-ups first? Why don't you show the slide which answers that question?
I could do that.
Yeah?
I could. Okay. Well...
Yeah.
I don't want to forget about my mock-ups, Ludo.
No, we'll do the mock-ups. But I think that's probably your answer here.
Right.
You see current.
This is a beefy slide. Okay, so this slide talks specifically about your question around video. We think about several things. We think about securing our content and access. We think about where we're going to store the content itself. The media itself, where is it going to be located, where we're going to store that metadata, and how do we deliver live events? So it's set up that way. And what you're going to see is, in the current scenario, we're inside the firewall. You have to be connected to CorpNet. You're going to be VPN'd in if you're not right there. We're on SharePoint 2010. We talked about that. To deliver the media that we have today, we have 12 streaming media servers. We also have 3 regional cache servers. So if you're sitting out in a region and you go to request a video, it'll check your local regional cache first. If it has a current copy, it'll grab that and give you a better experience in making you go all the way to get the streaming video back. So that's our current implementation. That's using Windows, of course. And then something similar that we do for our live broadcasting events, we have a smooth stream encoded video, and we provide that. Now, I'll be honest with you, even with the 12 streaming servers we have and the 3 regional, sometimes the quality is not where we would like it. It's one of the reasons why we're looking at going to the cloud. And then what we're planning for here in Q3, or the Q3 or Q4 timeframe, is figuring out how we can get ourselves onto SharePoint 2013 in the cloud. And as we're doing that analysis right now, we're understanding that there's actually some gaps. There's some gaps in the Microsoft products that aren't giving us what we need. Now, keep in mind that we have some high security requirements, pretty stringent around our content and who can see it. It simply can't, be shareable. I can't let someone download it who had credentials and then share it with someone else. So we have things that we're thinking about from that perspective that aren't covered here. So let me just, again, I'm just sharing this to be honest. We have a couple of gaps that we've identified. So number one, around access and security, we don't have a full solution yet with a PlayReady DRM license server from our own products. So we're looking at what else can we do. Do we build our own? Do we work and get something with BuyDRM? Somehow we have to secure that, so we're working through that process. And then down below, you'll see the other red box, and this is how do we stream our live video and secure that as well. And again, we don't have a real good story there just yet, and we're considering using Akamai and checking a few other places that we might. And this is going to get us into getting ourselves over to Academy 2013 in the cloud, up and running, and then we'll set up, what we'll do is, because we're kind of running ahead of the product teams here, we don't have the functionality available to us, we will partner with the SharePoint group and the Windows Azure team, and we'll become part of a first and best dog food program, and we'll help to send requirements, and we'll become a test bed, and we'll get this figured out, and what we're hoping is that in the future we have our own PlayReady license server, and we can stream this out of our own media services, so we're working towards that in the future. Did that help you with your question?
It does, but also one of the things that we're struggling with is just the size of pipe between all our different locations. You know, some of our blood locations are
What? Yeah. I mean, you can only fix that by better network. The other way you can try to work around it is a multiple encoding of the same file. We actually have that today. Smooth streaming, where you have a low bandwidth and a high bandwidth, so that at least if you're broadcasting 720p, well, maybe in those parts of the world, you actually can downgrade the quality so that it still works. So, yeah, that's what we do.
Oh, fatal error.
Sure. Question? Great. So there's an offer here. We should talk after the talk. I think, Rhonda, you wanted to show the new and cool UI. Let's do that.
I have a problem with it, though.
Okay. Are you zooming?
Let's see if it's... No. And I know why it does it, but I don't know how to fix it.
Oh, question minus. Let me try
something. And it was good.
It was good.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, what we're going to do... I'm not sure if there was any way.
Refresh.
I did. I started over.
Can you believe that? Even with no network, the demo gods are not with us.
These are just simply HTML pages. So, well, this doesn't look real great. I think maybe I'll work on that a little bit. Maybe I'll let you work on it here.
Okay.
And I'll go over here. How's that sound?
I'll do that.
I'll keep going through the technical. Normally what happens is there's a pop-up that asks you to allow things to happen. I just don't see it there, so maybe restart. All right, let's move on to the next section. So I don't want to spend any more time talking about the challenges that we're having in the cloud. As I mentioned, that solution isn't quite baked yet, but what we can talk about is how can you build something similar to Academy using SharePoint 2013 on-prem? What would be involved here? So... basically, we use our services and core as our foundation layers. So from the services side, you would probably want to do the same. You'd want to pull in your user profile service that's going to give information about the user, their name, their title, their picture, all that stuff. And your managed metadata service, that's going to be the taxonomies that you decide you want to pull in and tag to help drive your navigations later, as well as your search service. So you're going to definitely need that. And then in terms of the core SharePoint stuff, we're using content types, our site columns and item versioning, site collection output cache for performance. And then the publishing layer really is where we have our master pages. So this is where we're going to set up those publishing page layouts. We'll have one for our homepage. We'll have one master one that's going to service all 250 channels, again, that you can toggle things on and off to make the right information and the right web parts show up that you want. We use our content approval workflow in one area specifically. It's when folks go in to request live events to schedule those. There's some things that we need to check on. So that's really about the only place that we use that. As Ludo mentioned, we don't require approval on any of the video uploads and haven't had a problem with that. We'll also be using, as we've already talked a little bit about, the managed navigation and your content by query web parts. And then in terms of search, we're using quite a bit of the core search functionality. We want to, again, use the search recommendations. You can't get it, can you?
The next page.
So today in Academy, we sort of had to build kind of our custom little recommendation engine, like on the video details page. In the lower right-hand corner, it would show other videos that were related. We had to write that ourselves. But now in SharePoint 2013, we're going to be able to just leverage the recommendations that are there, perhaps do a little results padding. And if you happen to visit Karem's, this is really what you want to do, is check out the presentation that Karem did yesterday on search, and it was around configuring search. And that's exactly what we're talking about here, setting your refiners and your filters and how the layout looks and what you want displayed in the results. And then at the top end, you've got kind of the user experience that they're going to be looking at the social components that you put there in your video. So your video doc set page, that video player. Social components, you probably did notice a little bit before. We have the ability to add comments via Yammer We also have our ratings. We have the new functionality that we'll be using in SharePoint to follow. So you'll be able to follow if you maybe watched a couple of, for example, Michael on the go. You watched a couple of his videos. You really liked them. You can go ahead and follow, and then you'll know when he's publishing other things. You got it?
Yay. You have the homepage test.
Okay. Yay, Ludo.
So you have to move it. Hold on. Just move it. Across. There you go.
Thank you.
And click anywhere here for the next.
Are you on a channel?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Homepage is broken, but channel's good.
So that's a channel. Manage navigation, channel.
Yeah, thanks. So this is the new design that we're envisioning. You'll notice the super secret little red pop-out in the lower corner is gone, and we've added some new navigation along the top. We have a browse functionality. We have made it easy for folks to go in and manage their content, whether they want to get to their publisher's dashboard or they need to schedule a live event, as well as uploading their podcasts. We've also invested a significant amount of time and effort really in our help pages, and I recommend you do this too, because if you don't, you're just going to have your support desk flooded with, I don't know how to do A, B, and C, I can't get my video to upload, am I supposed to encode it, are you going to encode it, what do I do? So we have actually, believe it or not, lots of videos in our help section, short little video clips, how to do what you need to do. Let's take a look at the search. And I'm going to search for Windows 8. So our search results, as you'll see, we're really focusing more on the content here and making the page much more usable. It's also going to make it much easier when you think about using this on a touchscreen slate in the future, right, to be able to click the video you want. I'm going to filter here on Windows 8. Well, I guess maybe I'm not. We have, you'll notice that the search results turn back all the media for Windows 8. It also brings back any channels that were tagged to Windows 8. It brings back any presenters that published something to do with Windows 8. And it brings back pages that have Windows 8 in it, including our help pages. And I'd love to be able to show you the home page. It's kind of half broken here. And what I'm going to do is scroll down. We'll pretend the top was working pretty. There's what we have at the home page. It looks sort of like that, where we have reduced it down to one real estate space at the top for our ad banners. And it's a carousel, and it rotates through. The problem is it's just broken at the minute, and they're all stacked on top of each other, so it looks kind of goofy. So, again, the focus here really is on our content. We're going to be using the recommendation engine to display recommended content to our users here, and as well as we want to have a continue watching sort of feature. I think probably how we're going to do this in version one is simply by just using cookies. So it's only going to work on the device that you were just recently on. But going forward, what we'd like to be able to do is probably is going to end up being a customization, is to start to store that information in the database about where users are. So I can watch it halfway through on my slate. I can pick it up on my phone or on my PC and continue from there. That sounds more like a V2 idea for us. This is our new video doc set details page. Looks very similar to what we have today. It's just a little bit cleaner. The video screen is a little bit larger. We've cleaned it up a bit. And scroll down a little bit, and you'll see where we're thinking about using that recommendation engine to pull back some related content to help drive.
If I may add, you may notice here additional content, and you find the thumbnail, you find a version, downloadable version of the video. We also have Word documents, PowerPoints. And so really from a design, the Academy solution is a mix of a media platform solution, but also a very traditional knowledge management environment where you also want to publish the document, blah, blah, blah. And as you can imagine, you've probably understood already that we're not storing the video in SharePoint. However, we would like to store the documents, the PPT in SharePoint. So it really leads us to have kind of a dual strategy and dual supporting infrastructure, one for video, one for more traditional documents. And so that's what we're doing here.
All right. I have just a couple more slides left. It looks like we have about 5 minutes left before we go into some Q&A. This is the on-prem solution diagram, if you were to want to go ahead and build this. We have in the center, you see our web front ends. These are Academy servers. We have three today. There's only two showing, but we actually have three. And then up in the upper left-hand corner, you see all the shared services that we've talked about, your search service, your user profile service, and your managed metadata. Above that, what you see says our knowledge management server and Corp News. These just represent other SharePoint portals or any other portal that want to leverage your videos. So they're going to be able to do that. And so that's what those guys are. And then over here, you'll see we have our own metrics server. Everything, we actually use EE Trends to track clicks from within our site as well as the video player. And we also track that for the folks who share our videos. So we know, for example, if the corporate news site has played our video and how many times. So that's how we're able to get our metrics there. And we have, of course, an encoding service because we manage the encoding for our folks. We don't want them to have to deal with that. We're looking for a consistent experience. We're looking to compress the video size as much as we can and still deliver some quality. And then here this represents the streaming servers that you will probably need to deliver your video. You're probably going to want a smooth stream server. Your app server is where you're probably going to be storing your PowerPoint decks and that sort of thing, although you could store those in SharePoint if you wanted to. So let's see what you've learned today. Everything that we've talked about really centers around three guiding principles. Ludo talked to us a lot about strategy through some of the demos. We've given you hints about different strategy. And then we've talked a little bit about empowering your users, making it easy for them to collaborate with each other, easy to upload, easy access to help. How can they collaborate? And we talked a little bit about infrastructure, delivering some infrastructure that's going to ensure that your site's usable, it scales, it's performant, and that sort of thing. So let's see, let's see what you have. So,
any questions?
I did see you guys last night, though. I saw you. I know you have some energy because I saw you. Concert and you were there.
Yeah, I think you want to start the Q&A. You want to?
Yeah, I think.
Sean, you want to join us?
As far as your governance for uploading videos, do you have a certain size limitations or file type limitations? Or you said you have one area where you do content approval. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. We do not limit in size, and I've actually seen multi-gigabytes videos being uploaded to the server. We do monitor space, and that's also what led the team to archive and really make sure that we don't run out of space. We don't govern videos that are uploaded, I would say, random. We do govern them when they are uploaded to a channel. And especially if we have a clear owner to that channel, of course, we don't want that channel owner to be upset because anyone will actually could impact the videos that are hitting his channel. So we do have a governance around which videos can appear on selected channels. Besides that, you can go to the platform, upload. It's a robust upload mechanism. If you're patient enough and you want to upload 1 gigabyte, go for it. Question over there?
Two actually. Let me go ahead and ask both. For your hiring strategy based on aging, do you have any concept of protecting highly recommended, highly popular videos so they're not really age level resistant?
Yeah.
Repeat the question.
Yeah, repeat the question. You sure? What is your strategy to age content? Do you have rules in place? And how do you make sure that the highly valuable content stays in? We have quite, I don't know if it's sophisticated, but we look, the aging algorithm is, if I'm not mistaken, but it's something like this. If a video has less than that many downloads, and if in the last 6 months it hasn't been accessed more than 10 times, then you can retire it, right? So we look at the most valuable content. We don't assume that because it's old, it's irrelevant. We want to know how well are people still consuming it, right? And so that's how we retire it. And then when we retire, it doesn't disappear. I think it stays 1 month into the recycle bin, pretty much. pretty much, and we wait for anyone to say, hey, where's my stuff? And then we can restore it.
We've also taken a similar approach with other content management portals in the company where we reach out to the users. So think of it as a disposition policy that still reaches out to the publisher to say, hey, is this content still relevant? So it isn't just a blanket policy that says, if this is this old, then it's going out of the system. We want to reach out and find out, do you have an updated copy? Do you have some new information perhaps to add to it? And that's actually been very well received because it also helps get our community going, oh yeah, I need to go and refresh that content. And so that's often been helpful as well.
I've seen that once in 6 years. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It means it has only been seen and reported once. It's reaching out to the content owner, reaching out and pretty much putting those two people in contact. So there's the person who created the piece of content, and there's the person who says, and sorry, I didn't repeat the question. Question was, what if you find not inappropriate content, but not correct, incorrect content that says the wrong thing or has the wrong message? And so it's really putting those two people in contact. The one time I've seen it, it wasn't someone in the field saying something wrong. It was someone in HQ disagreeing with someone else in HQ on what the message should be. And pretty much one was fastest to publish than the other. And so it's really making sure that those two folks actually connect with one another and agree. Most of the time, you find that, and it's marketing, right? You find that there's actually someone who has the final say, and they'll figure it out. And we ask the question, should we retire it in the meantime? And we kind of wait for the answer. So we kind of try to put ourselves out of being in the middle of that conversation to let the people who actually have the knowledge make the decision.
I would add, too, that when I've seen examples of that, honestly, I think the context of where the content gets uploaded, people are actually very good. The community is very good at self-governing itself. And so oftentimes, it's not so much a matter of that information is wrong. It's that the video or audio quality sucks. So can we please fix that? And so generally, it becomes more of a nature of that, not, hey, I have some competing information or I find that inappropriate. But nevertheless, the community is very helpful in that regard.
One question here. Question is, who are the people that publish? Who are they? Are they highly trained? Who are those creators? You find everything. You find the exec who's actually hiring a studio crew to do a professional recording. You find a marketeer who has a 20,000 budget and is going to do the same, but at a lower scale. You find people in the field who are really good at doing everything on their own. They're going to do the recording, they're going to do the post-production, they're going to produce high-quality stuff. And then you find the folks in the field who want to do it on their own, and they're not that good.
So it's for Microsoft,
wide open to everyone. And so you'll find all those profiles.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes even what we do is just record a team link meeting, for example. Just record it and upload it for folks who couldn't be there, or in all hands or something.
And again, I think one of the drivers there is really, you know, you've heard this expression before in previous talks about Academy, is it's an internal YouTube. And the intent there is really providing a centralized place to aid in that discovery of that content. So while the content may only fit or be targeted to a specific audience, it's nevertheless an audience that you want to raise that visibility to. And so rather than keeping it, it's not to say that you couldn't put it in an asset library on a team site, but a lot of times folks will choose to take advantage of the additional benefits of this platform. One of those, of course, is the broader visibility, the increased features for the multi-streaming and the availability of that content. So that's been received very well. So again, different audiences, different levels of user. Yeah.
Oh, here?
Yeah.
One of the concepts earlier in one of the earlier sessions around social was the importance of
So the question was, previous guidance was to encourage or allow the community to contribute non-work-related items. What are we doing about that? At the very beginning, actually, we encouraged that non-work-related. We created music at Microsoft, calling on every musician at Microsoft to record their own original songs, no covers. And it's actually a very vibrant network right now where we find, I mean, all sorts of musicians contributing. I'll just mention that the one issue that we've received is about that channel especially. When someone said this is not appropriate, was about one song which had subject matter, and that's the complaint that we got. Yes, we created that avenue. We said, if you want to, and that's one that we sponsored, right? When we started Academy, we said, we're going to do something. And we had someone in our group who was a musician, and he kind of started it, right? And then other folks joined. So yeah, we kind of encourage it, and we don't really look at it as storage or any cost-related things.
I believe the gentleman who asked the question earlier about the metadata and what's expected on upload, I just wanted to add something to that as well. One of the things that you saw that Rhonda and Ludo showed earlier is that you could just easily upload a podcast from anywhere because we bake that option into the master. But another thing that we have been looking at is, I think for those of you who've looked into this, when you have a brick of metadata, you don't want to put a huge hurdle in front of folks when they're uploading content by asking them to fill out 30 fields before they can get something into the system. So one of the things that we've also been looking at is, of course, as Ludo mentioned, reducing the amount of required metadata, making some of it optional so it's still there. But another thing we've been looking at is perhaps putting context. So if I go to the technical channel on Windows 8 and upload a piece of content, now we can take advantage of that page's metadata and actually attach it to the video on upload.
That's
and so now
point.
You've just made it much easier for the user. We've gotten what we need to aid in the discovery and the search experience, right?
You've seen that very briefly. Yeah. In the new version, we're going to have upload to this page, and the page carries the metadata, and therefore the podcast will carry that same metadata. I'm going to go this other direction over there. The question is, what about the 200 gig limit for the site collection? You want to take that one?
Yeah, I think the short answer is don't. If that's going to be a challenge, is what I think you heard Ludo and Rhonda say, is we just don't store the video content in SharePoint. We're storing the metadata and the ancillary files only. So think of it as the library is essentially going to have all the metadata, any of the related content in that document set, and then just a pointer to the actual video file.
Is that considered
blob? Yeah. Mm-hmm, that blob, yep.
Question here? Thank you. Sure. So the question is, what's the cost of operating a platform like that? So first, the cost is distributed across multiple groups. Yeah. There's Rhonda and I, and then there's Sean and I in IT, and then we have a vendor pool. From an FTE standpoint, full-time employee, right? Microsoft full-time employee. We really have two at this point. It's Molly in my team and Rhonda. In the IT space, we have maybe 20% or 30% of someone, mm-hmm. I would think.
Yeah.
So from a headcount standpoint, it's not so big. From a budget standpoint, we actually did the math recently. We are funded at approximately 900K.
It's
1.3 for reporting and platform million, 1.3 million. That funds the solution, the operations, that helps fund IT. We generate an additional 1.8 million in revenue, internal revenue, when we sell the channels, the video production, that we are using then to invest in marketing, invest in sales, invest in actual support and operations, tier one, tier two. And so that kind of closes the, so we're kind of 50% funded. The other 50%, the other internal stakeholders are funding it through microtransactions. We charge $4,300 a year for anyone who has a channel, and we have 230. No. At the very beginning, we asked our VP to write a big check because we didn't have the cost recovery figured out, and he did. But then over time, his contribution in terms of budget decreased, and he challenged us to find the right business model to compensate. And so that's when we started to do a pay-per-play, and that's how his contribution from budget standpoint decreased year over year, and we were able to fill the gap year over year as well in paying customers.
And if I may, just real quickly, there's an engineering standpoint here that I just want to underscore, because obviously, as we're talking about, we've done, you know, you've seen a lot of the work over the years with the different releases, and obviously we're looking to exploit a lot of the great work that the product group has done in 2013. Think about where some of that is. It reduces customizations each time and the amount of engineering resources required there. Obviously, there's a lot of work that went into building these platforms, but over time, and certainly taking advantage of a lot of the new 2013 features that you guys are learning about this week, we're looking at opportunities to really reduce the amount of engineering overhead to constantly build new page layouts, make customizations to the portal, make the portal a lot more self-managing. That reduces the budget costs over time as well. So.
So the question is, how do we manage a threshold of thousands of users looking at one video at one time? We realize that really happens with scheduled events, things that are live. And the platform is really a live stream platform solution. And I think, I don't know, I mean, you want to say how we worked, how we operated the company meeting?
I think, the company meeting went fantastic.
Exactly. Here we're really looking at platforms that are really scaled for delivering live events. We don't see those issues for recording videos. We don't find that suddenly 1,000 people at one point are going to look at that one video unless there's a big social movement that just points everybody to that video. It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and actually, let me underscore that, because that's a really good point. A colleague who used to be on this team working with some of the earlier releases of Academy, we used to talk about that. When you're looking at a platform like this, you do really need to think about, are you designing for that 1%, you know, that live streaming event for 1,000 people that you're going to have once a quarter? Or are you, you know, designing more for everybody and having a good upload discovery and consumption experience where, you know, a video is going to be viewed by a few people at a time over the course of the day, you know? So you need to ask yourself those questions. What type of platform are you building for? We obviously are trying to do both, but we definitely are putting more of our emphasis on the folks, the everyday usage, the more standard usage by the 90% of the users. And that's worked fantastic, actually.
I actually have one example of one of those videos where it's actually a recording of the company meeting. And it's a snippet when Steve Ballmer announces that every Microsoft employee are going to have a Windows phone, a Surface, and a new Windows 8 PC. That recording was seen by 22,000 people, I think, and it was shortly after it was released. Not in one go, right? Over the course of a few days, huge, huge number of downloads for... But again, that didn't take the platform down at all, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Question is, how do we use the encoding technology, and how is that integrated?
So we're still using Carbonite, yeah.
I think we're still using Carbon. We had to go at Encoder. We're partnering with our studio facility, and they have kind of servers of encoding platforms, and they're using Carbon Copy.
So what you've seen here on the screen is there is some customizations in the uploading experience, so we can help with resume on interrupt for large files that are being uploaded, and then when they do get uploaded, they are actually being queued up to be transcoded into an MP4 format and a WMV format. Depending on what the user is uploading it, we make sure that we provide that other option for the downloads. So that gets queued up, and then they both get saved into the remote directory where we store the files. Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because then we obviously have to make, when the transcode is done, we have to get that link and then be able to make that link available back to SharePoint so the user has a seamless experience when they click on the link. Yeah.
Over there.
Silverlight, what?
Yeah, question is, have we dealt with an issue with Silverlight cannot be installed? No, because everybody has Silverlight installed at Microsoft. But we so
but the product has, they have an HTML5 player as well,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And what happens is we've talked about Academy quite a while in forums similar to this one, and we have customer coming to us like you, right, who, hey, I can't have Silverlight for XYZ reason. We're partnering with Microsoft Consulting Services to see how you can replace Silverlight with HTML5 or Flash, for example, right?
And again, another plug, the product does provide both players, and we are certainly looking at, you know, having an HTML5 version of our player going forward, yeah.
Great.
I think we're about done. If there's any other questions, why don't you come on up to the stage while we shut down and get ready for the next session. Thank you.